I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. Tonight is lesson number 16 in a series that we started called Destructive Behavior. And some of you will remember this. I started this because there just seemed to be so much destructive behavior in our country. Every time we turn around, you know, riots and people being hurt, and senselessly. And I think as Christians, we're to lead the way in our country. I don't think the government's to lead the way. I believe God's people ought to be setting the example for our nation and for the people around them. And so we started the series on destructive behavior. Matthew chapter number 7, I want you to find verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7, and find verse number 21, and then stand with me real quickly. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse number 21, I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm going to read one other verse to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And the Bible says this: And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Listen to the title of the sermon, Destructive Behavior, number 16. Professing salvation, but not possessing salvation. Professing salvation, but not possessing salvation. And let me pray for us. Father, use this sermon tonight to spiritually educate us, and for someone to prepare them to face you someday. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our midst and in a special way, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. In our text of Matthew chapter 7, we read some very, very powerful words. We see a very sobering situation. Jesus is speaking. Someone who expected to go to heaven is told by Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me. And it says here that this type of situation is going to affect many. See, this person mentioned was religious, but not saved. The truth about one's salvation is very openly revealed on the day of their death. But the problem is, once you die, what you did with Jesus had to be done before your death. The truth about one's salvation is made known when we face God in judgment. In verse 22, it uses, listen to this. I'm going to read the passage again. I want you to listen to it real carefully. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here it says, many will say that. In other words, there'll be many that are going to be told, you're not going to heaven. You're not saved. It says in verse 22, in that day. In that day. You say, what day? The day of your death will reveal whether you're saved or not. That when the judgment of God comes, obviously it's going to affect you. It may be in that day means the second coming of Jesus Christ. The time of the rapture will reveal whether or not you're saved. But what a shock to hear those words from Jesus himself. I never knew you. And when he said, I never knew you, he means never, ever, at any time, have I ever known you. It's not I knew you and forgot you. It's I never, ever, 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 ever knew you. Now, before we look more deeply into Matthew chapter 7 and these shocking words, I want to show you a couple of things that will keep you from hearing the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, one of the reasons for the lesson tonight is Matthew 10:28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The series is destructive behavior. Let me tell you something. Letting yourself go to hell, that is self-destruction. That is destruction of the worst kind. I have to tell you this story. For years and years, I've traveled and flown all over the country. I remember I would stay so busy with preaching, and I had a secretary that would help me, and I had an assistant pastor that would help me. And there were times when on Sunday I would ask one of my staff, "Where do I go tomorrow?" And now most people, if they're going to take a flight and go somewhere, they know exactly where they're going. But boy, Sunday it would hit me, and I would say, "Where do I go tomorrow?" And someone would hand me tickets, or they would say, "Well, you're going to Birmingham, Alabama, and we're going to take you to the airport, and we'll pick you up at 4 o'clock in the morning." And I was very, very busy, and I know that's hard for you to understand, but I was so busy. And well, at this particular time, they told me, "Well, preacher, you made your own flight arrangements." I thought, okay, I know what to do. I go to the airport, and it'll ask me for my credit card at the kiosk. I'm going to pop it in. It's going to say, "Jeff Owens, this is where you're going." I thought, okay, we got her covered. So I went to the airport, and it said, "Enter your credit card," and I put my credit card in. It came back, and there were no reservations. Then I thought, well, it's a stupid machine. You know, it's got to be the stupid technology. And so I went to the window. Thank you very much. So I went to the window and I said, "Hey, I'm supposed to be going to such and such, and I'm supposed to be on such and such flight." And the lady looked and she said, "I'm sorry, we do not have you in the system." I had my luggage, and I was scheduled to preach at that place, and I did what I was supposed to do. But there was no reservation found for me to be transported from point A to point B. I had never made the flight arrangement. But let me tell you something. I looked like a traveler. And I had my briefcase. And I had my luggage. And to be honest, I was ready to go. But I had not made my reservation. And there was a reservation that had to be made if I was going to go from point A to point B. Yeah, there's all sorts of people out there. They look like they might be going to heaven. They can even talk like they might be going to heaven. They might even tote a Bible around and wear a cross around their neck. But if you don't make your reservation, you ain't getting on a plane. Now, I've got good news for you, though. Yeah, it's about me. I did get my flight. But it cost me a little extra. You know, when you buy a ticket on the spot, I was a premier flyer and all of that. So it all worked out, but it was very humiliating because I, in all honesty, thought my reservation was made, but it wasn't. Now, the lesson again is this. It's called professing salvation, but not possessing it. And don't worry. We will not confuse people. If you'll listen to me, this will be just way too simple, but I want you to hear it. First of all, let me tell you how you get saved. First thing. First of all, you have to realize you need to be born again. That's all. You have to be born again. Everybody has to be born twice. First time, from your mama. The second time, you get born again by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? But I want to make it even more plain than that. There, to me, I think there's an easy 4-point outline that is followed to help one to be saved. The first point is this. You have to realize that everyone is a sinner. That's me, that's you, everyone. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." First thing a person needs to know to get saved is that they're a sinner. Everyone's a sinner. And just so you know, everyone is a bad sinner. Okay? So, number one, everyone's a sinner. Number two, there is a penalty for our sin. There's a penalty. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." There's the penalty. Then, in Romans 6:23, the very first part of the verse, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. The ultimate penalty for sin is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. Point number three, Jesus paid that penalty for you. He paid your penalty for you. Romans 6:23, the last half of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then it says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So here's what we said. Everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin, but Jesus paid that penalty for us. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to say something. I want you to listen to me very carefully. The whole reason for this sermon is to talk to people that come to church and make sure they've been saved. You say, well, how could someone not have been saved if they come to church all the time? Because they do what some of them are doing right now. They're playing. They're goofing off. They're laughing. And they miss the purpose of a sermon like this. I could preach this on a Sunday morning when there are a bunch of visitors, and it would probably help. I chose not to. I chose on purpose to teach it on a Wednesday night when it's primarily people that come to church all the time. And for a reason, the issue is there are people that will come to church, and they've never been saved. So if I were you, I'd listen real carefully. Because some of you are doing the very thing that causes people to miss it. They're not paying attention to the most important subject that you'll ever learn from the Bible. So, number one, everyone's a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for sin. Number three, Jesus paid that penalty for us. And point number four, we need to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin, to come into our heart, and be our Savior. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He told us if we would believe that, and we would ask him to come into our hearts, be our Savior, he'll come into our hearts and he'll save us. See, salvation is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, you don't work for your salvation. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So, everyone's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. We turn to Jesus. We ask him to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart, and be our Savior. And that assures us a place in heaven. Now, so, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, then you're not saved. You say, "I asked him before." Well, if you ask him and you meant it, then he saved you. And you say, "Well, I wonder." No, you don't have to ever wonder, because Jesus is not a liar. He's not a liar. He promised he would, and he's got to keep his word. Okay, but that's how you get saved. Number two, you cannot lose your salvation. Nor does God take it away. Nor does God take it away. Listen to me again. At salvation, the Bible says he gives us eternal life. John 10:28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Notice the words, never perish. Never perish. You understand that when someone tells you you can lose your salvation, they're telling a lie on God. God said, once I save you, you'll never perish. Never perish. And if someone says, but that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It has to make sense to God. It's not your word we're dependent on. It's His word. So, at salvation, He gives us eternal life. Then, at salvation, we are saved to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. You say, what's the uttermost? That's a part of forever. He saves you from now, forever. So, we're saved to the uttermost. We are given eternal life at salvation. Then, at salvation, we receive what's called eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, don't let that term redemption scare you. Redemption means to buy something back by paying the full price. Jesus paid the full price to save you. That's why He died, was buried, and resurrected. That's why He lived 33 and a half sinless years. You don't work to get to heaven. He did the work by being holy. You receive the free gift. Once you get the gift, He's not an Indian giver. He gave you eternal life. He saved you unto the uttermost. He gives you eternal redemption. You merely accept the gift of a fully purchased salvation, and there's no further payments needed. We sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all taken care of. Next, at salvation, God promises to keep us. To keep us. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You say, preacher, I got saved and I'm trying to keep it. You don't have to keep it. He keeps it for you. You say, why? He's the great keeper. He knows what He's doing. He knows the frailty and the weakness of the human race. And He loved you too much. He lost you once. Once He saved you, He never wanted to lose you again. He said, it's going to be signed, sealed, and delivered. You're mine. That's it. The day I saved you, it's mine. He does the keeping. But not only that. At salvation, He promised then to never cast us out. Never cast us out. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Once you're in Christ, you're in to stay. He doesn't throw you out. Right? Now, again, we're going somewhere with this. Before we get to those that profess Christ that don't possess Him, I think it'd be a good idea, number one, that you know how to be saved. Number two, that you know you never lose your salvation. But let me go on. At salvation, He told us that we can know that we're saved. We can know it. In 1 John 5:13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to wait and see. Sometimes I'll be out in the community and I'll witness to someone and I'll say, if you die today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? They'll say, well, we'll wait and see. And I think, no waiting and seeing for me. I already know I'm saved. You don't have to wait and see. You can know right now. You say, do I know based on me? You know based on Him. If you ask Him to save you sincerely, He did the saving. And He's not changed His mind. So, again, you cannot lose your salvation, nor does God take it away. He gives us eternal life. He saves us into the uttermost. He gives us eternal redemption. He promises to keep us saved, and He does the keeping. At salvation, He promised to never cast us out. We can know that we're saved. Then, the Bible says, at salvation, we are preserved forever. Preserved. Listen to Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. Ever. Saints are the saved, preserved forever. We have in the garage, on the workbench, some ball jars. In those ball jars are some pickles, some cucumbers. And they're sealed there. You know, y'all know what canon is?
Yes, sir.
All right. They're sealed there. Here, the Bible, and what happened is something is preserved in that jar. And God said, you and I were preserved. Now, Brother Nofsinger, he's pickled. But the rest of us, we are preserved according to the Bible. Preserved forever. But not only that, at salvation, we are placed in His hand and no man can take us out. The day you got saved, God said, I'll put you in my hand and nobody can take you out. Listen to John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, so you know when you get saved, you're called a sheep. Okay? My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay, so another man can't take you out of God's hand. Let's see, would you be considered personally a part of mankind? Right? So you can't take you out of God's hand. You have eternal security. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. It's called the security of the believer. Now, these verses over and over and over again tell you that. Now, let me review. Number one, how do you get saved? You realize you're a sinner. You realize there's a penalty for sin, death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. You realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Then, He said, if you'll ask me to forgive you of your sin, come in to your heart and be your Savior, I'll do it. I give you my word. That's how you get saved. Then, He saves you forever. He gives you eternal life. He saves you to the uttermost. You have eternal redemption. He does the keeping. We will no wise be cast out. We can know that we're saved. We are preserved forever, and nobody can take us out of the Father's hand. Now, that's all introductory, because now I want to talk to you about Matthew 7, verse number 21, 22, and 23. And that's where someone was standing before Jesus, and Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. So, now let's look at these circumstances that leads Jesus to say those shocking words, I never knew you. Matthew 7:21, I read it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then in verse 22 he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, now, understand. Remember, this is said to a lost person. This is said to an unsaved person. We already know the scripture says you can't lose it. So this was not said to somebody that had it and lost it. This was said to somebody that never had it. So they couldn't have lost it because they never had it. You can't lose what you never had.
Amen.
Then, this lost person openly claimed him as Lord, but was not saved. And the Bible says they said, Lord, Lord. They even told others he was a Lord. The words Lord, Lord there are mentioned twice. You say, who is this? Unsaved religious talker. You know, there's all sorts of people out there that are unsaved religious talkers. You can get a religious conversation with all sorts of people. But I'll tell you, the key conversation is, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And there are a lot of people say, 100% sure? Well, how could I know that? Well, you can know that because you know everybody's a sinner. There's a price on sin that Jesus paid that price with His death, burial, and resurrection. And He said, if you ask me to forgive me of your sin, come into your heart and save you, I'll save you. Bang, you're saved. And when you get into religious talk with people, many of them, they can talk the talk, but they don't know the Savior. So, this lost person openly claimed Him as Lord, but they weren't even saved. Then, let me point out some things. This lost person probably had a position in the church. You say, why do you think that? The Bible, it says they prophesied in His name. No, they were teaching in His name. They were preaching in His name, or they were testifying in His name. I mean, might have even had an assigned position with some duties. But just so you all know, preaching doesn't save you.
Right.
Teaching the Bible doesn't save you. Having a position in the church Doesn't save you. You say, well, what saves you? Well, you got to know that everybody's a sinner and there's a price on sin, that Jesus paid that price with his death, burial, and resurrection. You have to know that he said, if you ask me to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, I'll save you. That's what saves you. This person could talk about Jesus but didn't know Jesus. This person could actually teach about Jesus but had never been saved. Then, this lost person had success in church work. You say, how so? Well, it says they cast out devils. I cast out deacons before, but I've never cast out a devil. Maybe this person, you know, casting out devils, I don't know, it sounds kind of productive to me. Sounds like they're getting something done. They seem to be productive. They had cast out devils, but nowhere in the Bible does it say because you cast out a devil that you're saved. You say, well, how in the world do you get saved? Well, you got to know that everybody's a sinner and that there's a price on sin, that Jesus Christ paid that price with his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he said, if you'll ask me to come into your heart and save you, forgive you of your sin, you can go to heaven someday. He said, well, but here, this person, they were productive in some area and they could talk religious and they were probably out of position in the church. None of that saves you. That didn't save you. Let's go on. This lost person have been seemingly serving God a long time. You say, what makes you say that? The Bible says they had done many wonderful works. Just so you know, many wonderful works probably takes many hours, many days, maybe many years. This could mean this was a long-term church member. You say, but they were a member of the church. Being a member of church doesn't save you. You say, well, how do you get saved? Well, you got to realize everybody's a sinner. And that there's a penalty for sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, look, if you ask me to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you, I'll save you. Amen. So they probably had a position, but position doesn't save you. And they could talk like a Christian, but that doesn't save you. And they had done some productive things, but that doesn't save you. Then, as I looked at this story, this lost person did a bunch of things in the name of Jesus. It says, they said to him, in thy name. They said, in thy name, those words three different times in this passage of Scripture. Hey, when we sang about Jesus, they sang about Jesus. The teenagers sing a song, Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Well, the person in this story probably sat on the very front row of the youth group and sang, Jesus, 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 I got him on my mind. They probably, Brother Edwards, when they prayed at the end of their prayer, said, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. You can talk about Jesus all you want, but talking about Jesus does not save you. You know how many religious people talk about Jesus, but they don't even know him as Savior. They profess Christ, but they don't possess Christ. You say, well, how do you do it? Well, you got to know that everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. And you cry out to him and say, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, be my Savior. That's how you get saved. It's not using the name Jesus. It's not using the name God. It's not using the name Jehovah. There are all sorts of people that talk about God. Most of them, most of the real religious ones call him God. Now, I got to looking at this story further, and it says probably this lost person may be fooled by the devil, fooled by themselves. You say, why do you think that? Well, they expected to enter the kingdom. If you were listening, they said, well, don't we get to come in? They convinced themselves they were okay. The devil convinced them they were okay. And here's what makes me mad. Some preacher convinced them they were okay. Well, you can be off on a lot of doctrines, but let me tell you something. When you fiddle with the plan of salvation and you take it away from anybody but Jesus Christ, that is a damnable heresy. It's wicked. Wicked. And when you say wicked is a devil, it is the devil's doctrine. They were convinced they were okay. You know how many people are going to a church and they're not even taught salvation? Folks, think about it. You know how many people flood into our church and they're members of churches all over this area? And when we give our altar call, they come down here and get saved? Why? Somebody sold them a wooden nickel. Somebody told them they were okay. They never asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them. But let's go on. What brought this on where Jesus had to say, I never knew you? This person had prophesied publicly, but had never prayed for their personal salvation. Let me remind you, public service does not mean personal salvation. A lot of people, you ask them, oh, are you saved? They'll say, oh, yeah, I'm down here. I do this down there at the church. That puts my antenna up right away. Are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm an usher. Everybody knows being an usher ain't going to get you to heaven. You may end up in the other place. Let me go on. This person in this story in Matthew 7, they dared to say to Jesus himself, I mean, you understand, they're talking to Jesus. And they said, Lord, Lord. They even tried to convince Jesus they knew him. He'd already told them, you don't know me, I don't know you. They said, but Lord, Lord. He said, you know, you will not pull the wool over Jesus' eyes. You may all the religious people, but you won't with Jesus Christ. They argued it with him. Twice they said, but wait. The problem was the denial of the Word of God in the first place. Now they're talking to the walking Word of God and are arguing with him about whether they had been saved or not. He said, you don't get saved your way. You get saved my way. And you never did it my way. You're going to hell. He said, but what if they're sincere? A lot of sincere people in hell because they did not get saved God's way. Let me go on. Performing marvelous works, never being saved. Notice he said, I never knew you. Not I knew you and lost you. Never. Do you understand what the word never means in the Greek? It means never. Jesus said, depart from me. That depart meant hell. That depart meant eternity separated from God. That depart meant never to enter heaven. That depart from me was not to purgatory. There's no purgatory in the Bible. That depart meant hell. It's too bad that no sermon ever jolted them into facing the reality about their lost condition. Well, now, will that be true about you? And understand, I'm not trying to get someone to doubt their salvation. I started out with salvation and hoping that you are anchored in it. But you got to be saved. I'm sure God probably tried to wake them up from their religious but lost condition. I'm sure this person had more than one opportunity to be saved. See, this story is not about somebody out on the street that's lost that don't care about God. This is about a religious person. They seemingly did everything a Christian should do except get saved, which is the most important thing for you to do. I think they probably tithed. You say, Pastor, I tithe. Am I going to go to heaven? The question is, are you saved? If you tithe and you're not saved, no, you're not going to go to heaven. I think you should keep tithing, though. They prayed. The prayer God needs to hear is, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. That's the prayer God needs to hear. You say, I pray hours a day. If you've never prayed that 1 minute prayer to get saved, your hours a day will pray you right into hell. Came to church all the time. Come to church all the time, won't save you. I sing in the choir, won't save you. I attend Sunday school. It won't save you. I dress right. Won't save you. I served in the nursery. Won't save you. I worked on a bus route. It won't save you. I was involved in the ministry. It won't save you. Matter of fact, Jesus basically says, I don't know you. I don't know you. I never have known you. I never knew you. This person, I'm sure, was a church member. This person, I'm sure, had been baptized. The day they got baptized, they probably invited family in. And they have pictures in the album, the family album. They had everybody at work fooled because they listened to a religious radio station at work. They watched religious television. They listened to religious radio. The clerk at the Christian bookstore knew them by name. They were the one who was called upon to say grace at the family get-togethers because they were religious. They always gave religious greeting cards from Hallmark. They made a big deal out of the religious holidays. Easter was super special. So was Thanksgiving, especially Christmas. They did lots of good deeds. They had a Bible with them in clear view, just about all the time, everywhere they went. They read religious books. And they went to hell. You say, why? This whole thing is all about Jesus Christ. Everyone's a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He told us if we would ask, as a free gift, He would give us salvation. We admit that we're sinners. We ask Him to come into our heart and be our Savior. He saves us. When He does it, He saves us forever. Eternal, everlasting, non-ending security is given to us that moment. This story is not about somebody that had it and lost it. This story is about somebody that never had it. I know evangelists that love to go into a church and scare everybody to death and get a bunch of people to try to get saved because he's got a newspaper or something that he's got to write and he wants to make sure he gets a lot of clicks on his counter. I have no desire to get any clicks on the counter. I have a desire to love the people that are in my church and tell them the truth about salvation. If you're saved, praise God. Praise God. If you're not, be careful. You could destroy yourself. Matthew 10:28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Destructive behavior. It's professing Christ as Savior, but not possessing Christ as Savior. Have you ever been saved? If you have, congratulations. You did the right thing. If by some chance you're here and you say, "Pastor, I never asked Jesus to save me," I'd take care of that. I'd take care of that. I have to tell you this. It is extremely hard for religious people to get saved because they're embarrassed that their religion was not adequate. All sorts of religious people will be in hell. It is easier to go out here and find some wild partying denier and get them saved than to go into a church and get somebody to get saved that are doing all the right things but have never trusted Christ. That's our pride. And pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. A fall into where? Well, into hell in this case. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A couple of very simple questions and we'll be done. If you died today, would you go to heaven? That is based on the fact that you have sincerely at some time in your life prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the honest, simple truth. If you died today, would you go to heaven? How many of you would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. No, I'm saved." Would you put your hand up and let God see it? "I'm saved. I know I'm saved." You may put your hand down. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. It concerns me." Would you raise your hand and say, "I'm not saved. Pray for me. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven." You may put those hands down. There have been a couple of hands raised. I'm going to say something. Listen to me carefully. If you just raise your hand, understand something. Listen to your pastor. If you've ever prayed and asked Jesus to save you and you meant it, you're saved. You can't lose it. God doesn't take it away from you. But if you say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I never said it and meant it. I want you to raise your hand. All right. All right. You can put that hand down. I think we cleared it up for a couple of people now. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. I will say this. If you're saved, you ought to thank God that you're saved. Thank God you're not sitting in the midst of hypocrisy and lies. There are church houses full of people. They're not even saved. And they're convinced they're okay. I hurt for them. If you need the altar, you come. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not saved, and you would like to be saved, you come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be born again. You just need to come and pray and thank God for the salvation that you have. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I don't try to scare God's people. What you ought to do is, if you're saved, you ought to say, well, praise the Lord, I'm born again. If you ever ask Jesus to save you, you're saved. You don't have a thing to worry about. It's eternal life, and it's in His hands, not yours. We believe in living right, but I'm going to tell you something. Living right will not get you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus that'll get you to heaven. Rachel, one more time through the song, if you will, just one more time. The song she's playing, Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him Now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.